If you would be turning with me to Hebrews 8. Hebrews 8. Hebrews 8, and my text will be Hebrews 8, 9, and 10. I just want to let you know that, but I'm just going to read right now Hebrews 8, 1 through 8. Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched, and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. We read here of a better covenant, a second covenant, a new covenant. All of these are talking about the same covenant. And I want to also point this out. This covenant, although it uses or says it is the second, does not in any way indicate this was a plan B covenant which God had to make. It is mentioned as second because all this being done was in time, and this second covenant was manifest and accomplished after the first was instituted in time by God. It was a better or a stronger covenant than that which was made to man at Mount Sinai. The fault with the first covenant was man. Man could not keep it, and it was evident when Moses came off the mount the first time with those tables of stone that were hewn out by God and that law written by the finger of God. What happened to those tables of stone? Moses broke them. There had to be a second covenant, a better covenant, a new covenant, because man was not able to fulfill the first so that he might have life. In fact, the scripture tells us that life could not have come this way, because it was weak through the flesh. This covenant that it talks about here, the better covenant that is, was a covenant entered into by the Holy Trinity before the world was. We are told that Christ is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. There was a reason why the first covenant was given. We are told in Scripture why it was given, that the offense might abound. Some never see the offense, and for these, the first covenant is still in effect, and God will judge those by His holy law. And in fact, He also says, and I did not write this down, but He will judge us by His gospel because they believe not on the only begotten Son of the Father. If you are not one of God's chosen people, you must keep the whole law of God, which you can in no way do. But you are obligated to do it every jot and tittle. Yeah. But God be thanked that He had purposed a better covenant, a second covenant, a new covenant for some. Mm-hmm. Better covenant, which is a covenant of grace and not works. Better promises, which meaning God would send us His gospel and teach us through His Spirit. Jesus Christ is the better covenant. Yeah. Isaiah 49:8 says, thus saith the Lord, in an an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages. So there are a couple of things here that I want to look at concerning this new covenant. First of all, how was it obtained? And what does it promise? First of all, I want to give a little bit more on covenant or testament as it is rendered in some places here. When you read this, it says Old Testament and New Testament. And it's not talking about what we know as the Old and New Testament per se. It's talking about the covenants. One, the covenant God made with man in himself at Mount Sinai. And second, the one God made with Christ. This new covenant based on a sure foundation, and that foundation being Jesus Christ himself, also had promises to the Son, of which we find ourselves a part of by grace and not by any works that we do. Christ says in Matthew 26 and 28, he says, "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remissions of sins." Remission of sins. This is Christ when he first had what we call the Lord's table with his apostles. The cup of wine signifying his blood, which Christ says is of the New Testament or covenant. This blood which was shed for the remission of sins. As opposed to the Old Testament, which issued forth from Sinai. And if you would, turn with me over into Galatians 4. Galatians 4. Galatians 4, verses 21. Galatians 4, verse 21. "Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do ye not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband." The old covenant had fault. That's what we read in our text in verse 7. "For if the first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second." The indication here is that there was fault in the first covenant or testament. We have this confirmed in Scripture that the fault was not with the law of God, but the fault lies with man. We read that it was weak through the flesh in Romans 8:3. "For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh." This is also confirmed in our text as well, as we read in Hebrews 9:15. "And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance." There is a glory that excelleth, the Scripture tells us. The law of God, the Ten Commandments, are holy, just, and good. But there is a glory that excels that glory. Jesus Christ not only established or fulfilled the law of commandments, but he also fulfilled the law of grace. He offered sacrifice to the satisfaction of a holy and just God. So what about this glory that excelleth? If you would, now turn with me to 2 Corinthians 3. 2 Corinthians 3. Second Corinthians 3, verse 5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Now, what is the letter? What is it talking about? It tells us in the next verse. But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was a glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which was abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. Because of this hope we have in Christ Jesus, as Paul said, we will use great plainness of speech. The Scripture is plain. The Old Covenant, the First Covenant, the Inferior Covenant. Inferior because of fallen, sinful man. This is who the First Covenant was given to. Do this and live is what it says. We did not do it, we cannot do it, and we will never do it in and of ourselves. But God, in His wise design, made a new covenant. A covenant as old as God is, a better covenant. He made the covenant with a man which would do that which was required of God. This man did keep the law. But remember, this is a better covenant, a new covenant. This new covenant where the promises were made to the seed, singular. Although in this second covenant the law was kept every jot and tittle, there was need of a sacrifice. The sin of man had to be dealt with to take it out of the way, never to be seen again. A sacrifice for sin so that sin would be remitted. This was given in the hand of a mediator, one which, as we have said before, could touch man and not be defiled, and touch God and not be consumed, bringing them both together in himself. Jesus Christ, that name which is above every name, being both God and man, was the only one who could do this. Galatians 3:19 says, Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. This covenant was accomplished, carried out, fulfilled in Jesus Christ our Lord dying on that tree. Yeah. Hebrews 12:24 says, And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Jesus Christ, our only hope. If you look to yourself in any way, you are looking at the wrong thing or the wrong person. Jesus Christ is where we find mercy and forgiveness of sins. Jesus Christ is the better covenant. He is the one and only one who hath obtained eternal redemption for us. He has done away with the old. Hebrews 8:13 says, "In that he saith, a new covenant, he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away." One more here in our text that shows us that there was fault in the first covenant. Hebrews 8, verses 6 through 9. Hebrews 8, get back to my passage here. Verses 6 through 9. "But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." Jesus Christ, our great high priest, has come, and through his flesh he has renewed that communion with God through his obedience, that is, his faith. And by his death, his blood being shed for the remission of sins. Hebrews 9 tells us that the first covenant, which was a shadow of the second, I want to point out that in order to have a shadow, the real thing must exist first. Amen. You're not going to have a shadow without the real object being there to cast that shadow. Keep that in mind when you think about this old and new covenants. Hebrews 10:20 says, "By a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh." Jesus Christ, it tells us in Hebrews, that he did this through his flesh. What do we read in Hebrews 9, verses 11 and 12? Hebrews 9, verses 11 and 12. "But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." Jesus Christ has obtained, this word meaning get. Jesus Christ has laid hold of and retained, if you will, eternal redemption for us, the us being his people. As Joe has said before, that this eternal redemption means perpetual. Like this, perpetual. Always there. Jesus Christ doing this for us, it comes with promises to us because of the promise to the Son. So then what are the promises spoken of, especially those in our text? That which Jesus Christ is the mediator of. Hebrews 8, verses 10 through 13. "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. In that he saith, A new covenant he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and it waxeth old is ready to vanish away." What does this mean when it says, "I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts"? Is this talking about the Ten Commandments? Only in this sense, that Jesus Christ has fulfilled all the law, right, every jot and tittle. Right. This is talking about the gospel. Yes. This is talking about believers and what God has promised to them. Jesus Christ, being the mediator, sends us his gospel. We will never know God in our heart and mind that is of this flesh, because the flesh receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. What this is talking about is writing the gospel of Jesus Christ on our hearts and putting in our mind the things of Jesus Christ. Right. Romans 8:2 says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." His law being written in our heart and by His Spirit confirming those things of Christ, our souls, it purges our conscience from those dead works of the law of sin and death. Dead works of the law of Moses. We are purged from that law so that we can now serve the living God. This is what it tells us in our text. Hebrews 9 and verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? When I first started this message, I thought of it being the new year. So I wanted to talk about those things in Scripture that were new. I was not really expecting this to necessarily go this way. But I couldn't help it. This is what the text speaks of and what the Spirit of God led me to talk about. But there are other things spoken of in Scripture of new things. New things because of the better covenant. A new creature in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, and I have about three verses here, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Galatians 6:15, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And then Ephesians 2:15, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace. So what are we told to do? Put on the new man. Ephesians 4:24, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. What is this putting on of the new man? It means to put on Jesus Christ. Romans 13:14 says, But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. How are we to do that? Through the gospel. We should be wholly given to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, praying to Him to work in us both the will and to do of His good pleasure. Do we have commandments that God gives us? Yes, we read so in Scripture. And let us remember what we've just read. We have been promised it. For some, and it has been given, a new man which of God is created in righteousness and true holiness. That is the righteousness and true holiness of Jesus Christ. So what are we told? John 13:34. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. We read in several places in Scripture about loving. Loving the brethren, loving His gospel, loving our neighbor. How is this possible if in this life we cannot obey God perfectly because of this flesh, which we must mortify? How are we to love one another as we have been commanded? Galatians 5:22 and 23 reads this way, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. I can only have love for something or someone because of the Spirit of God who has given me His fruit. I can love, that is, love Christ and love His people, and love my neighbor as myself. I can have joy, that is, joy in Christ and joy for others who know Christ. I can have peace with God. I can seek peace between the brethren because of His fruit. I can be long-suffering with others, and they can be long-suffering with me because of His fruit. We can be gentle. We can do good. We can believe God. We can be meek, and we can be temperate, all because of His fruit. Now, I most of the time cannot see these things. That is, I cannot see or know that I am doing these things. But God has told us He works in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. I want to ask you, if you have a true love, that which is the fruit of the Spirit, are you going to go around committing murder? Are you going to go around committing adultery? We know it's possible for a child of God to do such things. God has given us those things, those examples in His Word. He has not given us these examples that we should follow after that kind of thing, but that we should fear Him, knowing we can do nothing without Him. We shall reap what we sow. But He has promised here in Hebrews, He will put the things of Jesus Christ in our mind and write them in our hearts so that we can serve the true and living God. Again, Hebrews 9:14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? The covenant, the better covenant struck between the three in one, was ordained from before the foundation of the world. The first covenant was decreed for a specific purpose, and that is so sin might abound. But because grace did much more abound in that there was a better covenant in place, this covenant where God Himself in the face of Jesus Christ would fulfill the law every jot and tittle. This satisfying the law of God so that Him who would be sacrificed would be spotless and without blame. He would also die the death that needed to be done for the salvation of those whom the Father promised to the Son. Sin had to be paid for, and Him being the only one who could obey the law of God completely, He completed this work. He was faithful to this end. The promise being made to the Son of having a people to the praise and honor of His name. So what is the result of this new covenant, this second covenant? This better covenant, Hebrews 10, verses 9 through 14. Hebrews 10, verses 9 through 14. Then said He, lo, I come to do Thy will, O God. He taketh away the first that He might establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. My brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ is the better covenant. It is Him that we should look to. It is Him that we should put on. We should totally consume ourselves with Jesus Christ. Those for whom He has bled and died, and then arising to the Father's right hand on high in majesty, He has promised something else new. He has promised that we will drink that new wine with us. He will drink that new wine with us in His Father's kingdom. Matthew 26:29. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. He has promised a new heaven and a new earth. 2 Peter 3:13. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. We will one day sing a new song, Revelation 5:9. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Brothers and sisters, I pray God enable you to see Jesus Christ, and He enables me to see Jesus Christ, the better covenant. He has promised us in Jesus Christ eternal life. We are told we shall be with Him forever, and Him being the light and the life of that place, wherever and whatever it shall be, will be glorious because He is the glory of God. I want to shout this names to the top of the mountains, to the valleys below. Wherever he allows me to proclaim this name, because this better covenant, this new covenant, that is Jesus Christ, is the only way to God. I pray he keeps my mind centered on him. Help me, Lord, to put on Jesus Christ, my better covenant. Amen. Dear Lord God, take these words, apply them to our hearts. Be with those who have ailments, dear Lord. I don't even know what to pray for, to ask, dear Lord. But you know and do all things right, dear Lord. All these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen.